Certainly good to be with each one this day. I'm thankful to be here. It's not very often I have opportunity to be home, as I call it, and have opportunity to speak here. I'm thankful for that opportunity. I invite you to open your Bibles and follow along with me this morning as we examine God's inspired revelation. We had an excellent Bible study this morning in which we talked about the book of Galatians. Brother Johnny Paul taught that class, and there was a lot that we were able to learn and appreciate about God's law. We talked about the faith being the gospel, but this morning I want to talk about our individual faith that we have in God. As was read just a few moments ago from Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, we're given a definition of faith. When the Hebrews writer tells us that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're told what faith is. And as we continue on in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we learn of the importance of faith. When we're told, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of all them that diligently seek Him. When we consider the importance of faith, we read that it is impossible to please God without it. And certainly, if it is impossible to please God without faith, then our faith is absolutely essential. And we need to be concerned about our faith. But as we consider faith, there's a number of things that we could talk about. As the Hebrews writer does in Hebrews chapter 11, he talks about a number of individuals that exhibited great faith. He talks about in verse 2 that by it the elders obtained a good report. He talks about Abel. He talks about Enoch. In our Bible study this morning, we talked about the faith of Abraham. How that he had a faith that was so strong that when God told him to go to a place of which he would tell him, he didn't question it. But he went. He packed up his possessions and he went and found out where God would tell him to go. He had enough faith to offer up his son as he was told to take his only son and to sacrifice him. And as they made that journey, we have Isaac asking him. He said, Where's the lamb? Remember Abraham's answer? He said, God will provide a lamb. And he went and he proceeded. He put his son on that altar. He had the knife in his hand and was stopped by the angel. We see the great faith of Abraham and others in Hebrews chapter 11. We could talk about the fact that faith is very powerful. As Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 17 and in verse 20. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. Jesus says, "For verily I say unto you, if ye have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." We see the amazing power of faith. That with faith, things that may have seemed impossible will be possible. If you have the faith as of a grain of mustard seed. We talk about the difference in a living and a dead faith, as James did in James chapter 2. And he talked about the fact that there are those that have a living faith, a faith that is coupled with works. And there are those that have a faith that lacks work, and as he says, that faith is dead, being alone. We could talk about a number of things that can happen to our faith. As Paul did when he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. He talked about in it some whose faith had been made shipwreck. He talked about Hymenaeus and Alexander, who he had delivered unto Satan that they might learn not to blaspheme. What I want to talk about for just a few moments this morning as we consider the topic of faith is an expression that Jesus used four times in Matthew's account of the life of Christ. Four times Jesus uses the expression, "O ye of little faith," as a rebuke of his disciples. And I want us to examine these four times that Jesus uses this expression and learn what it was that caused Jesus to tell his disciples that they had a little faith. And the point Jesus is making each time he uses this expression is not that you can have a little faith and someone can have a lot of faith, but you can all be pleasing to God. His point is that you're lacking faith, you cannot be pleasing unto Him. Remember Hebrews 11 verse 6, that it's impossible to please Him without faith. And that's what Jesus is getting at when he says, "O ye of little faith." In the first place, let us turn to Matthew the 6th chapter, where we find the first time that Jesus uses this expression as a rebuke of his disciples. In Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. Jesus says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you?" Notice this. "O ye of little faith, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall ye eat, or what shall ye drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." If you followed along in the reading, you notice that Jesus used this expression, "O ye of little faith," as a rebuke of worry in his disciples. We find here his disciples were concerned about the physical things. They were concerned about what they were going to eat or what they were going to drink or what they were going to put on. Jesus, to help make the point that they need not worry, he talks about the fowls of the air. He says, if God provides for the fowls of the air that sow not and don't reap, he takes care of them, he provides for their needs, why then are you worrying? Are you not much better than they? You who are men who were created in the image of God, unlike anything else in creation, are you not better than the fowls of the air? He's saying, why are you worrying about what you're going to eat? Why are you worrying about what you're going to wear? He says, the Gentiles worry about those things. And also, he talks about the lilies of the field, how they grow and they toil not and neither do they spin. And he says that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Remember Solomon and his great wealth, that he had requested wisdom of God? But he was blessed also with wealth. He had wealth greater than that any man of the East or any man of the West. And we have the Queen of Sheba that came to visit him to see if it was so, and she said the half has not been told of his great wealth. But Jesus says that he was not arrayed like these lilies that God takes care of. He's saying you don't need to worry about these things. And when you do, it shows that you have a little faith. You don't have faith that God is able to provide these things. We need to know, as he said in verse 32, that your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Verse 31, he said, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" It reminds me of what the apostle said in Philippians chapter 4. When he talks about this very idea of worrying, or how it is we ought not to worry, he gives us the solution in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. When he says, "Be careful for nothing," that is, be anxious for nothing, do not worry, "but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." He's saying, rather than worrying, as Jesus' disciples did and were rebuked, go to God in prayer. He says, with everything. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, Jesus told us that our Heavenly Father knows the things which we have need of, but we still need to go to Him in prayer. And let your requests be made known unto God. And when we do that, we need to stop worrying. We need to believe that God will provide the needs that we have, that He will take care of us. And as Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 7. As he makes this same point in his epistle, when he simply says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Remember the peace of God which passeth all understanding that we can have when we go to God in prayer and with supplication, let our requests be made known unto him. That we can cast all of our care upon him, for he cares for us. We need to be mindful of how big of a relief that is. That we have a God who we're able to cast all our care upon. And He cares for us. And He's going to provide for the things that we have needed. We have no need as Christians to worry about these things. We need to have faith that God is able to provide, that God will take care of us. He cares for us, and we are able to cast all our care upon Him. But not only does Jesus use this expression, "O ye of little faith," as a rebuke of worry. In Matthew chapter 8, again, He uses this same expression. Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 23. "And when He," that is Jesus, "was entered into a ship, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but He was asleep. And His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He said unto them," notice Jesus' response, this expression we're studying this morning, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him?" Jesus again uses this expression as a rebuke of His disciples, this time of being fearful. See, Jesus, His disciples had been with Him. They had seen His amazing power. That He was able to heal the sick, that He was able to provide food for those that had need, that He had power over all things. And yet, even in the presence of Christ, as they're on this ship, they were fearful. It said, "Save us, we perish." Jesus rebukes them. He says, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" That is, those of us that are fearful, as these were, even in the presence of Christ, they have a little faith. They're lacking in faith. You know, the Lord has always expected His people to be a strong people. A people that aren't afraid. A people that aren't fearful. It goes back clear to the Old Testament. Remember when Joshua was set to take over leading the people of God in Joshua chapter 1? When in verse 2 the Lord said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even the children of Israel." Verse 3 says, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." In verse 5, "Therefore shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." Notice what He expects of him in verse 7. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law." In verse 9, "Be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed." Notice this. "For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." You know, when God is for us, when we know that God is with us, wherever we go, we have no reason to be afraid. If we have a strong faith, if we know that God is with us, and that He'll never forsake us, we have no reason to fear. We have every reason to be strong and to be of good courage. But when we become afraid, it shows that we're lacking in faith. You know, we're given this same promise today, that this wasn't just a promise that was given to Joshua, that God would be with him wherever he went. This promise holds true today, that God will never leave us or forsake us. In Romans, the 8th chapter, Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay all things to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, there's all these things that can happen. There are tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and sore. But none of these things can separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of God. And if God loved us enough to send His only Son to come down from heaven, to live on this earth, to suffer the things that He did for us, to be spat upon, to be beaten, to be scourged, to be mocked, be crucified, to shed His blood for us. If He loved us enough for that, do we not think that His love is always going to be with us if we're obedient to Him? Do we have any reason to be afraid of tribulation or distress or persecution? Verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? And if we truly believe that, if we have faith in that, that if God is with us, that is, if we're obedient to Him, then who can be against us? Then what reason do we have to fear anything that can happen to us? And as we look in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, notice this, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. See that? We have no reason to be afraid. The Lord has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake you. When we believe that, we can boldly say that the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We can't be fearful and be acceptable to God. If we are fearful of what men can do to us, if we are fearful of what can happen to us physically, then it shows that we have a lack of faith. We'll be rebuked just as His disciples in Matthew chapter 8. When Jesus said, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? But notice the third time Jesus uses this expression in the book of Matthew. This time in the 14th chapter. Matthew chapter 14. Beginning in verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said unto Him, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And He, that is Jesus, said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. See, this time Jesus uses this expression as a rebuke of doubt. His apostle Peter. As he began to sink, Jesus said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? It is, why did you doubt? You see that doubt is so dangerous, ruinous to our faith. That we can have a faith as strong as Peter's when he stepped out of the boat and walked upon the water. We see in that moment he had such a great faith, a strong faith. He had faith that it was God. He had faith that he could get out of the boat and walk on the water, and he did that for a while. He walked on the water to go into Jesus. But notice what happened as soon as doubt entered into his mind. He began to sink. He lost his faith because he doubted. You know, the same thing happens to us today. That if we allow doubt to enter into our lives, that we think about our spiritual life, that we begin to sink, we begin to drift away. We allow doubt into our lives. And we see what it did with him. It made him sink, and he said, "Lord, save me." And Jesus rebuked him for having a little faith, and he stretched forth his hand and he caught him. And they went into the ship and the wind ceased. But we see that just as we can't fear, just as we have no need to worry, we can't allow doubt to enter in to our lives. It ruins our faith. It destroys our faith. And James said in James chapter 1 about those who doubt that they're unstable in all their ways. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. James says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." See, those who ask wavering, those who ask with doubt in their hearts, anything of the Lord, he's described as one that's tossed to and fro by the sea like a wave. Notice in verse 7, when we consider doubt and we consider the results of doubt, of wavering, James says, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." That is, when we ask things of God, when we go to Him and request things that we have need of, if we have any doubt in our mind that God is able to give it, that God will provide the things that we have need of, then we won't receive anything of the Lord. We might wonder why it is sometimes that we ask things of God and we don't receive them. Have we considered that maybe it is that we're doubting when we ask those things, that we doubt that God is able to help us? Why did Peter doubt? He was on the water. He was walking. He saw the power of Christ. I wonder why it is sometimes that we doubt, but we see the effects of it. And knowing those effects, we need to avoid it. We need to have a strong faith to keep our eyes on Christ, to not pay attention to the waves that are going to and fro, the things that are going on in our life maybe that may hinder us from following after Christ. We can't doubt in our faith. We need to have a strong faith. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, in verse 21 through 23, about how if we ask things without doubting, how powerful that can be. In Mark chapter 11, in verse 21, again we see Peter and Christ together. You'll remember from our study of the life of Christ, as we study the four gospel accounts, when we had the scene where Christ had cursed the fig tree and said that it wouldn't bring forth fruit. In verse 21, "And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." He said, if you ask without doubt in his heart, then you're able to do this. But when we doubt, we can understand from that we won't be able to do anything. Remember James? He said, if you waver, don't expect to receive anything of the Lord. But if you ask without doubting, you'll be able to do great things. God will be able to do amazing things. in our life and for us to provide the things that we have need of. But if we doubt, we're said to have a little faith. That is, we're lacking in faith. But finally, number four. Fourth time that Jesus uses this expression is in Matthew, the 16th chapter, beginning in verse 1. Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is the evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall be no sign given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come unto the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. When Jesus perceived, he said, O ye of little faith, Why reason ye among yourselves, because that ye have brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it then that you do not understand that I spake unto you not concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. You see, Jesus said, O ye of little faith, this time as a rebuke of their lack of understanding. That here, just as so many other instances as we consider the life of Christ, that his disciples failed to see the spiritual application of what he was saying. And they always thought physically, they always thought about the carnal thing. Just as here, they tried to say that Jesus was talking about bread. Jesus wasn't talking about bread. He was talking about the false doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Jesus rebukes them and says, O ye of little faith. You know, when we consider our life as Christians, when we consider the fact that we're able to be risen with Christ, Colossians chapter 3, Colossians, the 3rd chapter, when Paul makes his appeal to those that have been risen with Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You see, we need to think about the spiritual things. We need to set our affection on things which are above. And to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That is, to think about the spiritual things. Not to be so focused on the carnal things. Not to be so focused on the physical things, as Jesus' disciples so often were. That so many times their lack of understanding was a result of their failure to see the spiritual message that Jesus was teaching. That just as so many in that time looked for a physical kingdom rather than a spiritual kingdom which Jesus would set up. They failed to see what he was talking about because they were carnally minded, thinking about the physical. It's like what we read in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. And we understand that he's talking about the law here. He's talking about the difference between the old law and the new law throughout this book. But within that, he says in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 5, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. When we consider the contrast made here between being spiritually minded and being carnally minded, He says, For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We as Christians, as we read in Colossians chapter 3, need to seek those things which are above. We need to seek those spiritual things. And we need to be more spiritually minded than we are. Because when we fail to be spiritually minded, we fail to understand the lessons which are taught in the Scriptures. Be carnally minded is death, he says. To fail to see the picture, to have this lack of understanding, a shallowness of thought, you might say. That's a symptom of having a little faith, of lacking faith. As Jesus said, O ye of little faith. We've looked this morning at four times when Jesus used this expression, O ye of little faith. Four rebukes of characteristics of those that lack faith. Jesus said to those that worry, O ye of little faith. To those that fear, O ye of little faith. To those that doubt, O ye of little faith. And to those that lack understanding, those that fail to be spiritually minded, O ye of little faith. And as we consider these four rebukes of Jesus, we need to consider our own lives and our own faith. And let it never be said of me or of you, O ye of little faith. And as we mentioned at the beginning of this lesson, it's not the difference in having a little bit of faith and a lot of faith, and it'd all be pleasing and acceptable. When he says, O ye of little faith, he's saying you lack the kind of faith that's needed to please God. You lack the kind of faith that is essential to be acceptable in the eyes of God and to make it into heaven. You see, if these things describe us, we have a lack of faith. And as the Hebrews writer said, but without faith it is impossible to please him. We need to consider ourselves and make sure that we have a strong faith, a faith that will be pleasing to God. We need to have faith in the gospel which has been revealed unto us. We need to have faith in this book, that the things which are written are true and cannot be wrong, and that we need to follow these pages in everything that we do, in word or in deed, as we're told to do all in the name of the Lord. We would not leave this place this morning without giving opportunity for those that are not in the faith to make their life right with God. There may be those here that have yet to put on Christ in baptism. We would plead with you this morning to change that. If you have heard the gospel, which I believe you have in our Bible study and our sermon this morning, you've heard that. If you'll believe that gospel, if you'll believe that Jesus came down from heaven, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus died on the cross for each and every one of us, for the remission of our sins. You'll believe that if you'll repent of your sins, as Jesus commanded in Luke 13:3. But I tell ye nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. If you'll confess your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, just as Peter did in Matthew chapter 16. He said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Just as the treasurer did when he said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said, If thou believe, thou may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And just as Jesus told us in the book of Matthew, that if we confess Him before men, He will confess us before our Father which is in heaven. But if we deny Him before men, either by directly denying Him or failing to confess Him, He will deny us before our Father which is in heaven. If you'll do that, if you'll be baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. Just as those in Acts were told, those that had with wicked hands crucified and slain the Son of Man. And after hearing a sermon that was gospel or scripture filled, rather, they were pricked in their heart and said, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And they were given their answer. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. You need to do the same thing today, that baptism is essential. And then if you'll remain faithful to the end of your life, even to the taking of your life, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. If you'll do those things, if you'll have that strong faith, and keep that faith until you die, then you can enter into heaven. Jesus will say, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But if you fail to do these things, if your faith is lacking, You'll hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And you'll be cast into outer darkness. You'll be cast into an eternity of punishment in hell. But as we consider our faith, as we consider this expression, "O ye of little faith," Jesus expects us and God expects us to have a strong faith. And if we have that faith that He requires, then we'll be greatly rewarded for that. When we're able to spend an eternity in heaven, where there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, no more dying. As we think about what a great reward that is, it would be our plea that no one would leave this place this morning without making their life right with Christ. You need to respond to the invitation this morning, either in putting Him on in baptism. We'll take you to a body of water this very hour. We'll baptize you for the remission of your sins, that you can be forgiven of all your iniquities. You can be risen to walk in newness of life. You'll be a new creature. The old things will be put away. Or if you've done that, but your faith has been lacking, you can request the prayers of the congregation. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. That you may be forgiven of your sins and be once again restored into the fold of Christ, the fold of God. That's going to be delivered up in the last day. So if you need to respond to the invitation this very morning and make your life right with Christ, we invite you to come to the front as we stand and as we sing.